91.7 KALW San Francisco, your local public radio, heard around the world at KALW.org, where it's 7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast in time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Jerry Nachman, and Laurie Fisher will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. I have a very slight cold, so I hope you'll bear with me. And give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your help here. And please give us a call with a question or answer at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. It sometimes gets a little crowded toward the end of the show, so give us a call as soon as you can. Our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's one word, mindsovermatter. It's always great to hear from our listeners, so feel free to get in touch with us anytime. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week. So again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org, and Laurie Fisher's consort, Sue, heard us in New Zealand, so it was through the miracle of the Internet, so
very
that's
popular
great.
There.
We yeah, we're very,
followers.
Well, we had one fan who's now gone, so anyway, next time she goes back, we'll have another fan. Again, that is kalw.org, and if you like a podcast of this show, it should be available soon afterwards at kalw.org. We had a couple of emails from people who did not get the podcast from the show last week. I know. Kevin looks very shocked.
They're panicking.
I don't know who was here last week because I wasn't. But anyway, we'll try to get that in order for you at kalw.org. So that all being said, let's start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. As a freelance word flipper, Jerry Nachman has been earning well below the minimum wage for decades and happy to get the gig.
Thank you, Dana. Laurie Fisher is pleased to have much more extra time on his hands now that Downton Abbey's last episode will be ending at just about the same time as the Olympic torch will be thoroughly doused.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is just back from London, where he faced the rainiest season since 1776. A bad year for the British in general.
Anyway, that is us. We'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, in a TV Guide poll of the 50 greatest TV dads of all time, who are the top three?
Well,
you got to get two for a bill. I was.
You always have to keep in mind who actually takes part in these polls.
Yeah.
What their age is and all that.
You want the actor in the TV show or their name on the show?
Bill Cosby, I assume, would be one.
Cosby's one.
Yeah. And I would think Robert Young on Father Knows
no,
Best.
No, he's not. Oh.
See,
no,
it's all about how old the people are that are taking the poll.
Well, you think
not
they're
necessarily.
Young.
No?
Not in this case.
All right. Okay. Stu Irwin from the Stu Irwin Show. See? Well, he's not on there, is he?
Are any that far back, though, the Ozzie and
not
Harriet?
Not that far back.
Okay.
William Bendix from My Life O'Reilly? No.
Did he have kids? Oh, he did have kids.
He did have kids, yeah.
Yeah.
Junior and Babs.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're a little too far back with Ozzie and my three sons,
yeah,
Fred
but
McMurray.
Not too far.
Okay. Fred McMurray.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh. Three sons.
And not Robert Young.
Not Robert
and not
Young.
Fred McMurray.
Not Ozzy.
And
Ward Cleaver.
No.
Oh, that's an outrage.
How far back is the oldest one on the list, would you say? Anything from the 50s?
No.
60s?
Probably.
70s?
Probably 60s. I'm not sure where later, early 60s.
Okay. All right. But Fred McMurray was in the 60s.
Here's a long shot. How about Lorne Greene on Bonanza?
Number two.
Oh, there you go. That's because that's in constant reruns.
Yeah.
That's 60s, isn't it?
Yeah, that's 60s.
Okay, so who's the third?
Oh, boy.
Boy, those were adult kids. All right. Is the third one kind of contemporary-ish, last 20 years?
John Forsythe, Bachelor Father.
Not less.
He wasn't even a father.
That's true.
No, and I don't know.
Bachelor Uncle.
I don't know when this show aired. I would say more longer ago than 20 years.
All right.
Say 30. Maybe.
Why don't you repeat the question, Jerry?
In a TV Guide poll, the 50 greatest TV dads of all time, who are the top three? Dana got Cosby, and Lori got Lorne Greene. Who's number three?
Ben Cartwright.
Yeah, the 40-year-old father with the three 35-year-old sons.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
They still got drinking together.
As Jackie Gale used to say in his joke. Nobody understood the age difference in that family.
Was the remaining father married? Was a woman in the house? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Dear Union City.
Hello.
I have a slight correction. Question one of your callers posed last week.
I wasn't here last week, but go ahead.
Well, he said that Sergeant Pepper and Beatles, the cover of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. He said that only Bob Dylan was the only singer who was still living. He didn't fail to mention Steve Lawrence.
Oh, Steve Lawrence
was on the cover.
Steve Lawrence on the cover? Wow.
Interesting.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Is Steve Lawrence still living?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Edie Gourmet just died.
Edie Gourmet died last year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Paul McCartney's on the cover. He's still living.
Yeah.
But
one of the really underrated pop singers, I think.
Steve Lawrence?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a good impressionist, too.
All right. Okay. What's...
Yeah,
all right. Go ahead.
Well, first is an Oscar question. What were the only films directed by Franklin J. Schaffner that earned back-to-back Oscar nominations for Best Score, though both lost?
What were
best
the three
score?
What's the second part of the
question? What were the only films that Franklin J. Schaffner directed that earned back-to-back Oscar nominations for Best Score, but though both
Franklin
lost?
Schaffner, who knows him?
Well, I know he directed Patton.
Is that one?
Yeah, that's one of them.
And
he did something else.
The Best Man?
It took place during the last days of the Romanov dynasty.
Oh, did he do Nicholas and Alexandra?
Yeah, give yourself another bell. That is it.
All right.
And here's my second question.
Yes.
You remember, Christopher Connolly, who played Ryan O'Neill's brother, Leslie, on Peyton Place, played a role that O'Neill played in the feature film.
Oh, he played, he was in Paper Moon. He did Paper Moon.
Yeah, Paper Moon. Give yourself a bell.
Very nice.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, he played him. You know who played his play daddy?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, give yourself another bell.
Yeah,
the TV series.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, the Tonight Show restarted this week, and Jimmy Fallon was on with the Roots, and made me think about band leaders of the previous Tonight Shows. So I want to know who the first band leader was for Steve Allen and Jack Parr and Johnny Carson's before Doc, and even Jay Leno, their first band leaders on each of those.
Parr was Poopy Kempo.
I don't know that you could say that on the radio. That's not what I have, though. Really? That's not what I have.
I thought it was Jose Melas.
That's what I have, Jose Melas.
Poopy Kempo was a Hispanic band leader. I thought he was with...
I don't think
maybe
so.
I was thinking of Jose Melas.
Jose Melas is right. Give yourself a bell. Okay, so I'm looking for Steve Allen and Johnny Carson.
Steve Allen was
Leno.
Skitch Henderson.
Yeah,
course.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Jay Leno was, I want to say, one of the Marcellus brothers.
It was.
Winton. It was
the other one.
Bradford.
Very good.
He left and somebody else came in.
Yeah. Well, he's had three or four.
Oh, he has.
Kevin Eubanks. Okay. So we're looking for Johnny Carson's before. These are pretty easy then. Before Doc Severinsen, and he actually had two. So extended by one.
I don't know.
Before Doc Severinsen.
Yeah.
They're well known?
Yes. Both really well known. Oh, good. We'll leave it out there people.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. I guess I'll do a question here. All right. What is the what are the largest two countries in the world that don't have McDonald's? They're big countries.
And this is based on population.
It's based on the size of the country.
Ukraine.
No. Mm-mm.
Indonesia.
No. Mm-mm. What are the two largest countries in the world that don't have a McDonald's restaurant? Right. And it's business based on the size of the country.
Well, I know, but population or land mass?
Land mass.
Okay.
Argentina.
No.
They eat a lot of beef.
Yeah, they eat a lot of beef.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who would not eat McDonald's or
Antarctica.
Yeah.
That's not a country.
Well, it's something.
What are the two largest countries in the world in terms of geographical landmass that do not have a McDonald's someplace in their borders, within their borders?
But Egypt.
No.
No. They would have,
they would have McDonald's?
Yeah.
I didn't want Eid to call it and get it. I don't know.
All right,
very good.
Second question. What is the only Best Picture winner that has a planet someplace in its title? What is the only Best Picture winner that has a planet someplace in the title of the film?
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not combined with another word. It's a
single
word.
It means the planet.
And it means best picture.
It means
the. It's not like Pluto the dog.
It means the planet. Yeah, I mean it's the same.
That's good.
Was the only Best Picture winner that has a planet mentioned in its title?
Well, Earth or world probably would be one. We're not even thinking.
Would
of
be
that.
Earth would be the planet if it were one.
Yeah, it was the Earth.
Not
yeah,
world.
Earth,
I don't know. Could be Neptune.
No, it could be others, but we tend to think of other planets before
Mars.
We think of our own.
Well,
I think he's giving us the ones.
Red planet Mars,
not,
you know, Peter Graves.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, and I have a guest for the third TV Dad.
All right.
I really want it to be Homer Simpson.
Oh.
I'm sorry, no.
That's a very good
guess.
That's
a good guess.
No, it is not Homer Simpson.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe, is he a good dad? I guess he is.
Yeah, well,
I don't want to judge him.
within limitations. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
I hate to break it to you, but Steve Lawrence was not on the cover of Sergeant Pepper.
Oh.
T.E. Lawrence was...
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make sense Steve Lawrence to be on the
team. But not Steve Lawrence. Neither was Edie Gourmet. So,
no, that's
all
not
right. Don't tell Garrett. He's listening.
I don't care.
T.E. Lawrence would
make
sense.
All right.
Anyway, Johnny Carson's first band leader, Johnny also had a... Skitch Henderson.
He did. That was his very first one.
Okay.
Very good. And then between Skitch and Doc, you know who he had?
Milton DeLug.
Excellent.
Oh, gee, boy.
Very
that's
good.
Excellent.
Sparky.
Yeah.
What
another
other
bell.
Show was Milton DeLug associated with?
Oh. Always loved his name.
Milton DeLug was on, I remember he played the accordion.
He was on a lot of shows.
No, you're thinking of something else.
All right.
You're thinking of the guy on...
Happy Kind and the Mirthmakers on
Fernwood Tonight.
Fernwood and then America Tonight.
Yeah. Or the guy on Lawrence Welk.
Right.
Yeah, so...
That's Frank Duvall.
That was Frank Duvall.
So which show... we still haven't gotten there, right?
Right.
Milton DeLug.
Milton DeLug was associated with?
I've got a secret.
No.
Okay.
What?
The Gong Show.
Oh.
Milton DeLug and his band with a thug.
Great tagline.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Okay, we're done.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Susan from Nelly Valley.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. The third father, Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a good guess.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
These are the top three. They're probably in the top 10 people you're mentioning.
All right. Give us another question, Jerry.
Okay, well, in researching a new book I'm doing on Broadway, Showstoppers, I came across one of the greatest of all, which is You Got Trouble from The Music Man, in which Harold Hill mentioned several names, brands, and terms prominent when the show was set, which is 1912. So I'm going to give you about 10, and you tell me, define as many of these as you can, okay?
Captain Billy's Whizbang. Oh,
that's the first
that's
one.
That's the one I remember.
Captain Billy's Whizbang, that's okay. Pat Gilmore, The Great Creator, Dan Patch, Hogshead. Hogshead is lowercase. Demijohn, lowercase. Knickerbockers, lowercase. Q-Bebs, capitalized. TaylorMade's, capitalized and hyphenated. Balkline Game. And the last is Aggies and Glassies.
So these are all mentioned in the song?
All mentioned in the song.
Okay. Aggies and you want to know what product they are?
Or what thing they are.
So Aggies and Glassies are marbles.
That's right, marbles.
And Dan Patch is a horse.
Racehorse.
He was a famous harness yeah. racehorse, Dan Patch. Great.
Q-Bebs, okay. Aren't those the... he made a big thing of the, like, rolling the cigarettes behind the corn crib kind of thing.
Yeah, Q-Bebs were made from ground berries.
Right.
Kind of a ersatz cigarette.
Right. Oh, okay. So they were kind of
Q-Bebs,
a funny
yeah.
tobacco.
C-U-B-E-B-S.
Was Bock-like game, was that billiards?
It's a kind of billiards game, Balkline, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
And that rhymes with T and it stands for trouble.
Right. Sure what, are the ones that are left here?
Okay, well, you got Captain Bill. Well, what was Captain Bill?
That's a joke book.
Yeah.
Kind of risque joke
yeah.
book. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pat Gilmore, The Great Creator.
Creator.
C-R-E-A-T-O-R-E. And then these Hogshead, Demijohn, Knickerbockers, and capitalized TaylorMade's.
Mm. TaylorMade. Are those rolled-up cigarettes, too?
Those are they're factory-made cigarettes.
Right, okay.
First factory, brand factory.
Were Knickerbockers have to do with knickers and socks and
that's a
garters?
Formal name for knickers, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's
if
right.
your son is rolling his Knickerbockers below
right.
the knee.
That's trouble.
He's trouble.
My
yeah,
friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pat Gilmore, Great Creator, Hogshead, and Demijohn.
All right.
You did very good, guys.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
How are you doing?
Good.
Okay. So, more information about the father. Was it the 70s, you said?
Mm-hmm.
70s.
I'm not sure what... I think that sounds about right. 70s or 80s, I would say.
How about James Broderick and the family?
No, no, that's a good guess. Yeah, that was a great show.
And then how about Kazakhstan for one of the...
That is one of the countries. Oh, very good. Kazakhstan does not have McDonald's. Yes.
Right. And I also... Well, I knew nothing to bug on the Gong show.
No. Oh,
give him a bell. That's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys, it's Alec in San Francisco.
Hey, Alec.
Well, I was going to try to represent Generation X and say Mr. Brady, but that's no good. So,
no.
I think a Hogshead and a Demijohn, I believe those are both containers or measurements of alcohol. Like a Hogshead is like a half barrel or something.
That's it. You got it. A Hogshead is a very large barrel or cask with varying capacity to hold liquid.
Good job.
It's 63 gallons in the United States.
Excellent.
And a Demijohn is a very large bottle. Sometimes up to 10 gallons in capacity.
All right.
Very good, very good.
So I have a question for you guys with some lyrics from classic TV themes.
All right.
So I'm going to tell you a lyric. You tell me what the show is. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood.
Now, are these short-running shows or long-running shows?
This show probably only ran for a few years.
Is that Jetsons?
No, it's not Jetsons, but it is a cartoon.
Okay. Oh.
Is it Mighty Mouse?
It's not Mighty Mouse.
He didn't have radioactive blood or anything.
I don't
want to be technical.
So what are the others?
It exists way beyond the show, so who has radioactive blood?
Oh, an action hero, probably.
An action, but it's a cartoon.
The Hulk.
Not the Hulk.
Oh.
He has radioactive blood, but it's not him.
Oh.
Kevin, our board op, thinks Spider-Man.
It is Spider-Man.
Oh, there you
Good job.
Okay, next lyric. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights.
Well, that has to be Superman.
Nope.
Oh.
Well, they all wore satin tights. So
is this a... Is this
to fight for his rights.
To party. Is this a animated show, too?
No, it was a live-action show.
But it's not Superman.
No, it's not.
Could be a gay activist.
In your satin tights,
fighting
for your
rights. It's not Batman.
Is that there were a couple of takeoffs on superheroes like Mr. Terrific or
no
Mr. America Captain America I mean
no not Captain America
or, and it was live action not animated
it was live action for sure
not Batman
how long ago was this
not Batman 70s
oh 70s
late 70s in your satin tie fighting for your rights well, and the old red white and blue
Captain America.
I said that. Oh. He said no.
Well, I thought the second time you might be right.
Yeah.
Late. No.
I like the singing.
Not Buck Rogers.
Not Buck Rogers. That's early 80s.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was
could be a lot of people.
Wearing
yeah.
Cap,
yeah, that's true. 70s live action.
Green Hornet.
No, he didn't wear satin tights.
He wore a loose-fitting suit.
Oh, maybe under his suit he wore satin tights. I don't know.
That was the secret revealed in the
that
song.
That part of his life was unexplored.
I think so.
I don't know.
Plastic man.
I think you got us on that.
It's Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Wonder Woman.
All right.
Because that was their nod to feminism. She's fighting
good
for
job.
Her
right. Okay, you had it.
Okay, last one is probably easier than those. Where the kisses are hers and hers and his.
Where the kisses are hers and hers?
And hers are his?
Where the kisses are hers and his.
Three's
Company.
Three's Company.
Three's Company is correct.
All right. Good job.
All right. Thanks, cool. Guys.
Thank you. And, Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, you may get this in a half a second or not at all. So what famous writer said this about what famous celebrity? Okay, here's a quote. Reviewing her work, her admirers respond to her dubious coquetry to the sight of her well-shaped and desirable little body. So what famous writer said this about what famous celebrity? Her admirers respond to her dubious coquetry to the sight of her well-shaped and desirable little body.
Joyce Maynard.
No.
Can you give us an idea how long ago this was?
This is a classic writer?
Yes, it's a classic writer and a very famous celebrity, and it was written more than 30 years ago, more than 40 years ago.
Coquetry.
Okay. Jeez,
coquetry.
Daphne du Maurier.
It led to a libel suit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This isn't like Lillian Hellman and Mary McCarthy, is it?
It's not like that. But I mean, it's not like that. But
Kathleen Windsor, Forever Amber, she was kind of a babe, I think.
Yeah, it was not
no,
that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was a famous writer, and the woman was a celebrity. I mean, movie star. Yeah.
Oh, Valley of the Dolls.
No, Jack not yet.
It's before that.
No. Okay. So a celebrity chick of some kind, yeah.
Yeah, celebrity chick. Yeah, I'm about to get some notes here for
you. Read the quote once more, would you?
Her admirers respond to her dubious coquetry to the sight of her well-shaped and desirable little body.
All right.
I'm getting some notes here.
Can you give us the critic who said that?
I want the critic, who's a famous writer. Okay, and I would say
that's what you want.
Yeah, and I'd say he's more known. He's much more known as a novelist than he is as a.
All right, I'm sorry. Let me go back for a second. So describe the two people.
One's a writer, and one is a famous celebrity who's a movie star.
But who is saying what about?
Oh, it's the writer is saying this about the celebrity.
Okay,
so it's a
who was also a movie star.
So it's a male writer writing about a female movie star.
Okay.
More than 40 years ago, even more than 50 years ago. And then there was a libel suit threatened.
Was it not fiction? Was it?
I
mean the person he's writing.
No, she's real. Yes, it wasn't Jessica Rabbit.
No, I mean that. But the work was not fiction that he's talking about.
Correct. He was reviewing one of her movies. He was reviewing one of her movies when he wrote this.
One of her movies.
Yeah. Oh. I don't really see the libel suit in that, but.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy.
Hi.
This is Bob in Berkeley.
Hi.
I'm going to try half of that last question. Was it Gore Vidal?
It wasn't Gore Vidal. Sorry.
It wasn't Gore Vidal. All righty. Did you have all the McDonald's countries filled in?
No, there's one left.
How about Iran?
Not Iran.
For heaven's sake. All right. You got me this week. You got a great show.
Oh, thanks.
Is it Mailer talking about Germaine Greer?
Oh, great guesses, but not.
Yeah, that is a good guess.
And I might have misled you. If I said it was a woman, I'll say it was a female.
Oh. Okay? Oh.
That would be more accurate.
Oh, it's an animal of some kind. Obviously.
Just saying it's a female. I got notes here from the audience.
And you're listening to Minds of Remember?
Well-shaped and desirable little body, so I'm not sure it was an animal or not.
You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you do, give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Well, this is Ruhama in San Francisco. Did you get the movie with the planet?
No.
Is it the greatest show on Earth?
It is the greatest show on Earth.
Very good.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, the countries with the McDonald's. Is one of them India?
No. India actually does have a McDonald's.
Good guess, though, yeah.
That's all I got.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let me...
How about Pakistan?
No, Pakistan has McDonald's, too.
How about Afghanistan?
No, they do not have McDonald's.
But that's not one of
one of the biggest countries.
Oh, wow. No. It's a big country.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I'm going to give you some Shakespeare film adaptions, but do not share the title with the Shakespeare play. Okay? So these are adaptions of Shakespeare plays. Sometimes they're updated, sometimes they're not, but they do not share the title of the play. So tell me what play they are based on. Wait till I go through the list and I'll give you each one guess. All right. Number one, Love in a Wood. Love in a Wood. Number two, Victims of Love. Love.
I like the reading.
Yeah.
Very good.
Number three, Forbidden Planet. Number four, The Rest is Silence. Number five, An Honorable Murder. And number six, All Night Long. So once more, these are film adaptions of Shakespeare plays. Sometimes they're updated, like a West Side Story sort of thing. And the title is not the same. So tell me what play they were based on. Number one, Love in a Wood. Number two, Victims of Love. Number three, Forbidden Planet. Number four, The Rest is Silence. Number five, An Honorable Murder. Number six, All Night Long. You each get one guess.
I was waiting for Chimes at Midnight.
No, I wasn't going to use that. That's actually based on like three different parts of three different plays.
I thought it was based
plays.
On Macbeth.
No, that's not Macbeth.
Oh, okay.
That's Falstaff. It's Henry V. And
Midsummer Wood or whatever that is. The Wood one is Midsummer Night's Dream?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think a Forbidden Planet, I think, is The Tempest.
It is The Tempest, yes.
Okay.
So just one each for now?
For now.
Okay.
All right. So, still looking for Love in a Wood, Victims of Love, The Rest is Silence, An Honorable Murder, and All Night Long. Those are all films all based on Shakespeare plays. Which ones are they? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
About the TV dads.
Yeah.
Because he was, I think, TV's first single dad, and he raised one of our greatest movie directors. I'm hoping it's Andy Griffith.
No, it is not.
Oh,
that's
come
a good.
On.
That's
Andy
a good
Griffith
guess.
Andy Griffith was an awesome dad.
Well, not according to Paul. He was not in the top three. He was an awesome dad.
Wow,
the dad of all dads.
And not Ward Cleaver either.
Not Ward.
Sorry, not,
not
in the top three. Probably in the top 10 or 5. Yeah. Oh,
that's incredible. Okay, thanks. Good night.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Eve. You asked me to call about the McDonald's question, so I'm responding. Somebody in your panel did. Okay, so some of the biggest countries. Greenland is one of them.
No, no, I only wanted the two biggest countries that do not have a McDonald's. And Greenland
is... talking about.
Greenland is not a separate country. It is still
it is
province of Denmark.
Okay, how about Sudan, Mongolia...
Mongolia is the other one I'm looking for.
Yeah, Mongolia is, and also Iran is. It's not. Iran is actually fairly big as a country.
Right, but it's not. It's the two biggest countries that do not have McDonald's. You've got Mongolia. Okay. It's Kazakhstan and Mongolia.
Okay, right. Mongolia is one of them. Okay, so in the same line of questions, which country after the U.S. serve the biggest number of McDonald's per year? Which country have the most number of McDonald's outlets after the U.S.?
Most number of restaurants?
Have McDonald's restaurants.
I think it's Russia. Is it Russia?
No.
Australia?
No.
Russia has the busiest single McDonald's in the world.
Think about it a bit. You'll get your common answer.
Okay, we're thinking.
China?
No, very little. They do. I mean, China's number five out of the next to America, but I'm looking for number one.
Brazil?
No, there's not even the chart.
I don't know.
Think about what country did the U.S. have a lot of influence on within the last, 60 years.
Influence on?
Yeah, let's say, think of a country that the U.S. occupied and still occupy part of it until today.
Occupied.
Right.
Vietnam?
No, Vietnam is not on chart. Which country did we drop the atom bomb on?
Oh, Japan.
Japan. Okay.
I was going to say Japan, but I thought that's too obvious.
Okay.
Never
Japan,
too obvious.
Japan has almost 3,600 McDonald's, Canada 1,400, Germany 1,276, UK 1,250, and China 660.
Yeah, they were playing McDonald's in London, I'll say that.
Okay, part of the question also, which one have the most expensive, which country, none of those by the way, have the most expensive McDonald's? The cheapest is the U.S. Which country has the most expensive McDonald's in the world?
U.S. is the cheapest, huh?
U.S. is the cheapest. Out of the, industrial countries.
Most expensive.
Most expensive.
And you haven't named it yet, right?
I know what the name is.
No, but you didn't. It's not in the list.
None of the biggie, as far as the number of outlets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I read this at some point. All right. Let me think.
Think of high income. Which country has the highest income in the world? I'm giving you a really easy.
Abu Dhabi.
No. You can't even.
Is it Kuwait or something like that?
Say it again.
Kuwait?
No. Let's talk about industrial countries.
All
right. Which is the richest country in the world right now?
Germany.
No, Germany is not.
China.
The richest? Per capital.
I don't know. What's the answer?
Norway.
Norway. Okay.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
My second question is really simple, but very quick. There's only three countries in the whole world that do not pay maternity leave. What are the three? Only three countries in the whole world. You can go to rich countries, poor countries. They all pay for women to have babies. Only three countries don't. You know which three? Only three.
Saudi Arabia.
No, they do pay.
Iraq.
Can you guys think of the United States? ISIS does not. Most companies do not pay for maternity leave for women to have babies. Yep. Another two countries, just for the sake of time, is New Guinea and Western Samoa. That's all. But everywhere else in the world, women get paid for the maternity leave.
Thank you,
Ian. Thank you, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're a little past halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet.
A TV Guide poll, the 50 greatest dads, TV dads of all time. Who are the top three? We have Cosby and Lauren Green. I'm looking for the third. And from my question about the song You Got Trouble from Music Man, please identify these two people who are mentioned in that number, Pat Gilmore and the great Creator.
And I still have Demi John on that list. Did we get that one? Oh, is that the size of
one of the liquor holders? Yeah.
And I have what famous writer said this about what famous female celebrity? Her admirers respond to her dubious coquetry to the sight of her well-shaped and desirable little body.
And I think all I have left here are film adaptions of Shakespeare plays, as in like sort of the West Side Story kind of thing. And none of them use the title of the Shakespeare play. So tell me what play they are based on. Love in a Wood, Victims of Love, The Rest is Silence, An Honorable Murder, and All Night Long.
Can I get another guess on those?
Not yet.
All right.
And that's it for me. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hey, Bart.
My guess for The Rest of Silence would be Hamlet.
That is correct.
Thank you very much.
That's the one I thought I knew.
That's the last line in the play, isn't it?
Almost the last line. There's one more.
And let's see. Jerry, no, wait a minute. Whose turn is it? I think it's your turn, Jerry. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to give you four state questions. What is the state with the most ghost towns in the United States? What is the first state to allow women to vote? Which is a state where the residents live on average 5 years longer than any other state? And, lastly, in 1976, the only state to turn down participation in the Winter Olympics.
They turned it down? They had the offer? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure. I thought that to participate in it.
They were selected to host and they turned it down.
That's it. Thanks for clearing it up.
So they state put, in, the their, most they put in their bid and then they withdrew it themselves?
Yeah, wow. I think so.
State with the most ghost towns in the U.S., first state to allow women to vote, state where residents live on average 5 years longer than any other state, and in 1976, the only state to turn down the opportunity to host the Winter Olympics.
Was the voting Oklahoma?
What's that?
The vote first state for women to vote?
No, it was not.
I think the voting was Wyoming.
Wyoming, that's correct.
Right. They made a movie out of that with Loretta Young.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. And I think the state that turned down the Olympics was Colorado.
It is Colorado.
Wow.
Why, I wonder?
It was a financial question. Oh, okay. They didn't think they could really afford it.
You're going to put out a lot of money to build the stuff that's going to make you money.
Right.
Is the 5 years longer Arizona?
No.
All right. Florida?
No.
Okay.
Huh. And the state with the most ghost towns?
I'm not sure how you define a ghost town.
Well,
I'll say Nevada.
No.
All right.
I'll say Texas.
No.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Dave Vanessa.
Hey, Dave. Good to hear from you.
Jerry, on the most famous ghost town, I nominate Tombstone, Arizona.
No, this is the state with the most ghost towns.
With the most ghost towns.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Okay.
Someone get the Forbidden Planet?
Yes. Laurie got that, I believe.
I did.
That's The Tempest.
Okay. And Yellow Sky was also based on The Tempest.
I forgot Yellow Sky. Yeah, that's good.
I have one for you. It's an easy one, three parts. It's a song title. If you can mention who wrote the song and who sang the song in the movie and the title of the movie.
Okay.
The title of the song is Snug as a Bug in a Rug.
Oh, okay.
That's who sang the song was Gracie Allen, and who wrote the
Damsel
song...
Damsel in Distress, right?
Who wrote the song was Frank Lesser, I think. And the movie it was in is The Gracie Allen Murder Case.
You get a gold star.
Oh, very good. Give yourself a couple.
It is available on YouTube if you ever want to watch it, by the way. And it's kind of cute.
Frank Lesser wrote
it was written especially for Gracie Allen by S.S. Van Dyne, who came up with the detective... Philo Vance.
Yes. Yeah.
So that movie is available?
It's on YouTube, if you want to watch it.
She was a great little singer. It's too bad she didn't do more musicals.
So, anyway, yes. And, Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. I would like... this came up because people are negotiating to get a big raises in their weekly salary to be the highest paid TV actors. So I want to know who are the highest paid TV actors in comedy and in drama. And with male and female.
Oh, jeez.
I bet Jim Parsons is one.
He's the one who's negotiating now. He wants $1 million an episode. He's in The Big Bang Theory.
He'll probably get it, too.
And he might. It was in the news because he is negotiating for that. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Now a drama.
So I'm looking for the highest. So we don't have a highest paid actor in a comedy, an actress, and highest paid actor and actress in a drama series. All fairly well known.
No idea.
I don't know if this is going to help, but do you actually have their salaries?
I do.
What's the highest paid?
The highest paid of all of them is $750,000 per episode, and it's in it's the guy in the comedy.
Yeah. That figures.
And Jim Parsons now wants $1 million an episode.
Is this a long-running comedy?
Yes.
Or is this Jim Parsons again, actually?
No, it's not. Jim Parsons only makes $325,000 a show.
Wow.
It's grossly
struggling along.
Yes. So that's one of our highest paid comedy and drama, male and female categories.
Okay. All right. Let's think about that.
All right.
And these are, I'm sorry, these are both, these are all both long-running shows.
Let me see. They are all long-running shows, I would say. At least 5-6 years, maybe more. Okay. I think the dramas are much longer.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Bob in Oakland.
Hi, Bob.
And the author and the celebrity are Graham Greene and Shirley Temple.
Completely
correct.
Oh,
yes.
Very good.
Right.
Did you read
about it
when she in her obituary?
No, I read that a number of years ago.
Yeah. And then he got sued, and the judge said it was the worst libel in British history, and he fled to Mexico, and then he ended up writing The Power and the Glory there. Yeah. According to,
I thought he didn't he accuse her of being a midget or something?
Just of having a well-shaped and desirable little body.
And you could sue on those grounds alone?
Apparently in Britain it was considered a libel.
Interesting. I'm sorry, caller. I didn't mean to step on you.
Must be more to the story than that. Anyway.
That's it for me.
All right, well, thank you. Good job.
It's mentioned in the New York Times book review today.
Actually, I have that. It's in the they wrote, there was an a book that came out several years ago called Graham Greene on Film, which has all his, has all of Graham Greene's film criticism in one book. And I want to say it wasn't Sight and Sound, but it was, I can't remember, maybe it was PM.
He was reviewing Wee Willie Winkie at the time. And it's 1937.
Anyway. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very good, caller. Thank
all
you.
Right. Okay. I'll give you a question here. Maximilian Schell died a couple weeks ago, and it was interesting because he was the, that was the oldest year, in other words, the earliest year, I guess I should say, that all the living, all the winners of the acting awards were still alive, which was 1961. And so with his death, the earliest year where all the winners of the Academy Award acting category are still alive is 1979. So who are the four people who won in 1979?
No.
So actor, supporting.
Yeah, 79.
Right. So 79 is now the earliest year in which all the people who won the acting awards, Academy Awards, are still alive.
Wow. Can you tell
his,
us?
His year was what, 61, did you say?
Maximilian Schell's was 61, and you had Maximilian Schell, Sophia Loren, Rita Moreno, and George Jacares.
Can you tell us what was the best picture that year?
No, I'm not going to tell you, because that'll give you, give away something.
Okay.
Yeah.
No idea.
Any hint here? Are any of them in the same movie?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
How many?
Two. So 1979 is now the earliest year in which all the winners of the Academy Awards in the acting category are still alive. Who are the four people? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. All very well known, by the way. 415-841-4134.
No hint on that one. That's not?
No. I'm not going to give you any hint. Because if I give you a hint, it'll give too much away.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
That's what I want.
I know. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Glenn coming back.
Hi, Glenn.
So the television dad, what year again? What year? What year?
Oh, Jerry, I think you said it was the 70s or something like that for the last dad.
I think 70s. I never watched the show, so I don't know. It feels to me like 70s is right.
Yeah, I'm thinking about The Rifleman. Remember?
Ooh.
No,
Chuck
that's
Connors.
Not it.
That's 60s. That's early
that's
60s.
That's not it, no.
Yeah, but that was a good one.
No.
And the state with the longest life, Minnesota?
No.
That's a good guess, though.
And
people die in blizzards there, I think.
And, darn it.
What?
Still out there, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
No, what's still out?
Oh, what's still out there?
The highest paid TV actors is out there. Yeah, that's all I have.
And the Shakespeare film adaptions.
Oh, yeah.
There was another one, wasn't there?
And the one I just asked, which was the
most ghost towns.
Well, the state where residents towns. Live on average of 5 years longer than any other.
That's right, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, right. You said that, yeah.
Ghost right. towns, California?
Jerry?
Is it California, Jerry?
No.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Glenn. Bye-bye.
On the TV Dad, Jerry, on the TV Dad, is it a comedy or a drama that the third TV Dad is from?
A drama.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Bill Bixby.
No.
Bill Bixby. Oh, when the courtship of Eddie's father?
Yeah.
Another good dad.
No.
That would actually be on my first list for best TV themes. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. People let me tell you about my best friend.
About my best friend. Yeah. He's the one boy, my colored boy. Yeah. I'm wrong, though.
That's right. But no, it wasn't that. Anyway.
Anyway. All right.
Thank you.
Go check that, though.
Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Michael from El Cerrito.
Hi, Michael.
I had a couple of guesses on the Shakespeare plays as film.
Okay.
All Night Long, Midsummer Night's Dream?
No.
Okay. How about, now this doesn't reflect my interpretation of the play, but... An Honest Murder, Othello?
It's an honorable murder, but it's not Othello, no.
Okay. State with the most ghost towns, is it Nevada?
No.
Do people live 5 years longer in Florida?
Is where?
Florida.
No.
I'm striking out tonight.
Okay,
the highest paid TV actor, is it Ashton Kutcher?
It is.
Oh,
Ashton Kutcher makes $750,000 per episode of Two and a Half Men. I guess he's one of the men. Mm. So it's been on a while, but he hasn't been. Very good.
I knew I'd get my bell.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi.
Okay, so for the state where people live the longest, is it Hawaii?
It is Hawaii.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Okay. And then I know two of the actors, I'm pretty sure I know two of the actors from 1979. Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep.
No, that's not 1979.
Oh, it's not. Oh, you know what? Then is it from The Deer Hunter?
One of them is.
Walken?
But it's
Christopher Walken is one of them.
So that's the year.
That's supporting actor. Christopher Walken for best supporting actor.
Right, Christopher Walken in 79. Okay.
Right.
Oh God, who was the best actor that year? Okay, I can't remember that.
Was that the best film of the year?
No. All right, thank you.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. This is Helen from Berkeley.
Hi, Helen.
I'm just remembering a show called Eight is Enough.
No, that's not it.
No. Dick Van Patten. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right, thank you, though.
So Meryl Streep didn't win for Deer Hunter, did she?
No.
That year.
Uh-uh. And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Well, okay, what distinguishes these film classics? I don't think I asked this before. I'm going to have to maybe recuse you, Dana. Misfits, Palm Beach Story, 39 Steps, Sweet Smell of Success, Dinner at Eight, Touch of Evil, Facing the Crowd, and Frankenstein. What distinguishes these films?
You mean what ties them together?
Yes.
Once more.
Misfits, Palm Beach Story, 39 Steps, Sweet Smell of Success, Dinner at Eight, Touch of Evil, Facing the Crowd, and Frankenstein. I'll let you guess later on, but...
Yeah. You want to give us any realm of hint? Is it on the screen, would we see it? Is it off the screen? Is it...
You've done these before. Screen. Off the screen.
Oh, it's off the screen.
Yeah.
So it's not an actor or somebody in
no.
it?
No.
It could be a writer?
No.
Okay.
It's off the screen.
Let's see. it has nothing to do with awards. It has something to do with a character in each one or a plot.
I can't give you any more hints.
But it's off the screen.
It's off the screen. That includes all that stuff, yeah. Not a plot. Not the plot, no. Or not the character.
Yeah.
Off the screen. All right. And let's go to Ovo. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
It's a great list of movies.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're on.
Is it Ed O'Neill from Married with Children?
No, it is not. No, it is not.
It is not?
No.
Okay,
excellent
thank
guess.
You.
Thank
Maybe
you.
He'd be one of the 50th worst dads.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't remember. You asked several questions, and I had one answer. Can you tell me what's out there?
Oh, there are a lot of things out there.
Okay. Then never mind.
Okay. Write it down.
I did. I tried to. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks.
Give us an answer, and we'll fill in a question.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Hi. Well, so maybe by great, it really has to be high quality, so this might not count, but I was wondering about Archie Bunker.
No.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. And Laurie, it's your turn.
Okay. There's a book written in 19... Well, there's a book entitled I, Libertine, that in 1954 took a unique place in the New York Times bestseller list.
Libertine, I think.
Libertine. Yeah. Fair enough. So the book entitled I, Libertine, in 1954 has a unique place in the history of the New York Times bestseller list and quite an interesting story. What is it?
This is a better early in the show question.
Does it have anything to do with censorship or
No.
No.
Nothing to do with censorship.
I, Libertine, and it has something to...
It's a unique, yeah, a unique history. If you looked up the history of the New York Times bestseller list, I hope it's unique. Meaning, I think it's the only book that has this quality.
Hmm.
It was on the list before it actually was in the stores?
Yes, but that's... there's a little more. That's part of it. That you're on to it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really a good answer.
Because of the title, it probably
What did you say, Jerry?
I said it was in the. It was on the list before it was in the stores.
Oh. So it could be like the highest number of pre-sale copies.
It could be. That's not it.
Before it was reviewed.
It was definitely on the list before it was reviewed, and that's not it either.
Oh. Hmm. So we're dancing around it here.
Is it a book that didn't even exist? Was it a...
That's it. So it was an invention by Gene Shepherd. He invented a book, gave it a title, and told all at the time in the 50s...
That's right. I remember reading about that. Yes.
So the bookstores would report how many people asked for a book.
Good question.
And the Times would ask that. And so he got people all over the world as they traveled to ask for this book.
So the title was titillating, in other words, to get people to...
And then he fabricated an author named Frederick Ewing, and the book got so much notoriety that he ended up hiring Theodore Sturgeon to actually write the book, and the book was produced and became a minor bestseller on its own after it was written.
Yeah, that's in the book I did on comedians. Yes, I remember reading, having that in it. Yes.
And Kelly Fries, as the last thing, if you see the original copy, did the cover, and the cover has an homage to Gene Shepherd. It has a sheep and a herd on the sign on the cover, and
that's
the guy
great.
Who did the Mad Magazine covers did the
Interesting.
Cover. Yeah, so it's a really fun story.
That's a great story.
So the book didn't exist until, and it was a whole invention by the great Gene Shepherd. So,
excellent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Every Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, it's Michelle in Oakland.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I hope this wasn't guessed already, but I'm thinking that the TV dad might be the wonderful gentleman who just passed away, Ralph Waite from the
Correct.
Waltons.
Correct.
Oh, the Waltons.
I thought you would get that right away because he just died.
And he is the best TV, and he is the best TV dad. Boy, he was good.
He was probably one of the only hillbilly people on quote-unquote hillbillies dads that I ever had a crush on.
Oh.
Yeah. Very good.
Good one.
Me
All
too.
Right, thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
he's the only hillbilly dad I had a crush on.
All right, there you go. He crossed all boundaries, apparently.
He did.
It's ahead of his time.
I have two guesses for the two of the living actors from 1979.
Yes.
And I'm going to say Sally Field from Norma Rae.
No.
Oh, dear. Richard Dreyfuss from Goodbye Girl.
No.
All right, that's it. That's my
good guess.
Guess.
All right. Kind of,
guess they're both alive, and they both won, but not in 79.
Right, right. 79.
You got to give us a clue here.
I was saying you could give us a clue. There was just any movie from that year would help place
the Deer Hunter is the only one. Well,
the male and the female are both the best actress and best actor are both from the same movie.
And was that the best picture, too?
I think so. I'm not absolutely sure. Mm. Anyway, all right, I'm going to see what I can throw in here. This was in the news this week, actually. What individual has been thanked the most in Oscar acceptance speeches?
Mom.
No. I'm going to hold this over if nobody gets it.
That's good.
What individual, I'm looking for a name of a person.
Oh, a person.
Yeah. Has been thanked the most in Oscar acceptance
speeches. So somebody has kept track of this.
Yes.
Well.
Yes. Yes.
And it's somebody, you know. Like,
it's somebody.
A real
you know,
person. Yeah.
Like Samuel Goldwyn or somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right, right.
Is it somebody at the production end as opposed to the performance end?
Somebody in Hollywood. Well known in Hollywood. Let's put it that way.
Well known in Hollywood. Yeah. Mm. That's all a great right. question. Yeah.
All right. I might hold that over.
Have they been
hold that over.
Have they been thanked recently, would you
yes,
say?
Yes, they've been thanked recently.
So they're still alive.
Yes, they're still alive. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Peter in San Francisco.
Hey, Peter.
There's at least one further at, I'm sorry, I have my radio. Dramatization of a Shakespeare play, a movie adaptation of a Shakespeare play that you haven't mentioned.
Which one is that?
Well, you want me to just give it to you?
Yeah, go ahead. We're almost out of time anyway, so it's fine.
Okay, it's called Throne of Blood. It's by Kurosawa.
Oh, right.
That's
right,
good,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big Beth, right?
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Beth, All right. We better clean up here. What, Jerry, what do you got?
Well, in the song You Got Trouble for Music Man, Pat Gilmore and the great Creator were both well-known band leaders of that era, marching bands. The state with the most ghost towns in the U.S. is Oregon.
Oh.
That's me.
No, you have the movie question with all those titles.
Oh, yes,
Misfits,
yes, yeah.
Palm Beach,
oh,
sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I should hold this one over, too, but I won't. They've all failed to win a single Oscar nomination.
Oh.
Kind of amazing.
Yeah. Well, all right.
All right, my highest paid actor is the highest paid.
No, no, I'm not disputing.
The highest paid actor in a comedy is Ashton Kutcher, $750,000. Kaley Cuoco, who you probably don't know, in The Big Bang Theory, is the highest paid female comedian. Drama, Mark Harmon.
How much does she make?
She makes $325,000 and she wants $1 million an episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark Harmon in NCIS makes $525,000. And Mariska Hargitay in Law and Order SUV makes $500,000 per episode.
Interesting.
And is underpaid.
All right. Do you want to, let's see, these are Shakespeare film adaptions.
Yeah.
Love in a Wood, you want to guess?
All's Well That Ends Well.
As You Like It.
Yeah.
Victims of Love?
Romeo and Juliet.
That's correct. An Honorable Murder?
Macbeth.
Julius Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
All Night Long?
Yeah. Don't know it all.
Othello.
Oh.
Took place in a jazz club.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you did that. I'm not. I'll hold over the individual who's been thanked the most in acceptance speeches until next week. And so, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight with author Jerry Nachman from Dabo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. 1979, Jane Fonda, John Voight, Christopher Walken coming home, and Maggie Smith.
For
apologize
Travels
for
with
that.
My aunt?
For California Suite, I think.
Geez.
And anyway, our thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us again next Sunday. Bye-bye.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.